Let's go. Hey everyone, it's Watch Your Podcast, and we're back with episode number 99. I'm Mike.
I'm Nath.
And I'm Nick.
And we're sure to talk to you about things.
No.
Sleazy things.
You know, every time I say, hey Mike, do you want to host? As soon as it comes out of my mouth, I wish I hadn't said it.
No, you're guaranteed something different every time.
Wow.
I feel I should have said yes when you asked me, and then I could have said something terrible.
Well, you know, in the whole time that we've been doing the show, and we'll probably talk more about this next week when we do a look back of our 100 episodes.
We will look back.
You've never, ever got the intro right.
It's never needed to be right. It just needs to be different, and people can go, you know what? I think I prefer 76 over 62.
Is that how to tell them apart?
Yeah.
Everything else was the same, but that intro.
remember 84? Oh, 84.
Yeah.
Such a great one.
I remember it.
Is that the one where Mike thought he was Nate? That was hysterical.
It really wasn't.
It was great. It was really good. 91. Oh, special moments.
Special moments.
Yeah, special moments. Very kind
what
of...
What happened in 91, Mike? Just out of curiosity.
There were things and... There were... Things about movies.
Who hosted?
Pop culture. Ah, oh, was one of us.
You're looking all starry-eyed about stuff.
Oh, yeah. Just, you know, I can just totally appreciate the sheer non-committal statements.
Right,
which
right.
will lead me down a path of pure nothing.
Right, thanks for that.
So what happened on this week? I think we should jump into some news. What do you guys think?
Wow, that
yes,
sounds
let's,
like
let's
a-
move on to something else.
Great idea. First images of Ryan Reynolds in action on the set of Deadpool have emerged.
Yes.
Have you seen that, Nick?
How great does he look?
He does look really good.
Like, normally when a movie takes a superhero and turns it into a real kind of character, making air quotes, you get a pretty good result for the most part.
Yep.
But he looks like he stepped straight out of a comic. There is nothing wrong with that suit, nothing I would critique it on other than the fact that it's just not here yet.
Yeah. The thing to note about this is, and we've put it on the Watcher page, and that's probably been one of the most popular posts that we've had all week. Is that they've got tracking dots around the eyes.
I did notice something on his face.
Yeah, yeah. So the eyes will be CG, which is actually
he's got to be so cool.
That's a great thing to do. So you can really getting into the mind. Of that actual comic itself rather than...
Yeah, because when they first announced Deadpool, you know, 10 years ago, whenever it was, they were talking about one of the problems being that he always wears the hood so you can't see his face.
Yeah.
And so they're going to be like, he might wear the hood to begin with and then he'd take it off and he'd be kind of his messed up looking face for the film, but at least he could emote.
Yes.
But I guess they've had films like Spider-Man show that's not necessarily the case. You can get away with a full face mask. So... Good on him.
Yeah, and you know, with awesome animated eyes, which is, it's one person.
When you're Deadpool, that's important. You've got to have weapons everywhere.
Well, the good thing, too, is that the there was another set image that I saw, and it's not I mean, obviously, it's somebody from a telephoto lens, you know, six blocks away. But you did see Ryan Reynolds with the mask off in makeup as well.
Yeah.
So nice. So he does have that sort of that burnt deformity to his face.
Oh, awesome. So
like
we're going to get
comic.
Both.
We're going to get both.
That's what we want.
So
two times the awesome.
It's really going to give the fans exactly what they want.
Two times the Ry-Ray, as we call him in the fan club.
The Ry-Ray.
Ry-Ray.
Yeah. You guys don't call him Ry-Ray?
Like Tay-Tay.
No, nothing like Tay-Tay.
Well,
Ry-Ray is awesome.
Right, okay.
All right. Look,
sure. Anyway.
Ry-Ray, it's like some kind of rye with the ray coming through it.
Anyway, is Deadpool is good, and Liefeld should be very happy about that one.
Well, you know, he's had a foot in it.
Yeah. Hey, there we go. I was going to do this next one, but I think we'll leave this to last because I think this is going to be a conversation anyway. First image of Paul Bettany as the Vision in the Avengers: Age of Ultron came out today in Entertainment Weekly. Have you seen this, Nick?
What?
You haven't seen this?
No.
You haven't seen this?
Yeah, it's like
Ray. I spent most of today stuck in a fluorescent hell.
Oh, you were? That's called work.
Yeah.
Right.
Most people call that.
So you saw it, Mike? What did you think?
Yeah, I mean, the poster overall, I wasn't really that thrilled with because it was just Photoshop in there. But as for the image itself and how he looked, I was like, oh yeah, it looks all right. I mean, you're not getting much of an action thing going on there.
No, it's just sort of levitating.
There. Yeah, it's like, you know, hey, I'm the Vision.
So,
yep, aren't I just?
It's going to be Paul Bettany in a costume. It's not CGI.
It's not CGI. He's definitely in costume. So. Wow. Which is kind of cool. I mean, they're definitely keeping with the colors. You know, when I'm still miffed as to, you know, Paul Bettany being the Vision. He's been great as Jarvis.
He doesn't want to get any Bettany.
He's been great as Jarvis. But
no laughter.
As an action hero, I'm still not convinced. But we'll wait and see.
So, time will tell.
Didn't he play that assassin in one of the Dan Brown films?
Yes, he did. It was the second one, wasn't it?
I don't know.
Oh, no, it might have been the first one.
It's the one with Tom Hanks.
That's the one. Yay.
Didn't he convince you he was an awesome action hero in that?
Yeah, the way... didn't he whip himself?
I couldn't even convince myself as I said that. I think, yeah, he was the one who buckled that spiky thing around his leg and beat himself.
He's a great voiceover guy. That's all we have to say about it. Have you got your timer on, by the way? That. We've got no timer to this week.
We're just winging it.
I'm following the timer on the PC.
Oh,
no, I don't really have news. PC, I had something I did this week, but it's not really news. It's it's not the same thing.
would it fall into any other category tonight?
I did spend a fair whack of this week watching 138 episodes of Get Smart, all four spin-off TVs, and the weekly TV show from the 90s.
Well, that would be definitely what you're watching.
That's exactly what I was thinking as well. Yes,
well then.
You jumped the gun.
If that's the case, let's go straight into what you're reading.
I did not see that coming.
Yeah. Who's on the wheel? Who's going first on the wheel, Mike?
I think that this week we'll jump to Nick.
I've been reading the internet. All of it. No, I haven't. That's not true. After talking to you guys last time, I borrowed a copy of Chew off one of you.
Yes. Oh.
I can't remember who it was because you're both heaping so much praise on it.
Mike.
It was me.
It was Mike.
And it was awesome.
I really enjoyed it.
It was for those who haven't read it, like me 2 weeks ago, not like today, I've read it now. It's. I've confused myself already. Okay, so. It's a book set in a slightly alternate reality to where we are now, where the bird flu wiped out millions and millions of people, and because of that, chicken has ended up being a prohibited substance.
Shame.
I know. I would have stuffed KFC, it very quickly.
Never would have thought that would have gone under.
Well, that's it. Everyone, KFC, Red Rooster, the Chicken Machine, all those places, out of business because chicken is just contraband. And so the book is all about...
Nando's.
What is he, FDA, I think he is?
Yes. Yeah.
FDA agent who has the ability to... When he eats something or tastes something, he gets images of where it was farmed. Like if it's fruit, he knows what kind of trees it grew on and what kind of pesticides it was exposed to. And so he ends up getting involved by using his superpowers to taste things, figure out what happened to bring that person to that point. Well, yeah, I just gave away a twist. Or to figure out what's going on, where the chicken came from. But yeah, he does get involved in murders and he eats bits of the people to figure out what happened. And
Murder, she ate.
That's exactly right. And it's awesome. It's this concept that when I'm talking about it right now, I feel like I'm going crazy because it just sounds so ridiculous. But they play it so straight in the book. It's brilliant. Everything
really
about
good.
It just plays so well.
And it gets, you know, the thing is that I'm up to issue 42 now. I think 46 has just come out. And... I tell you, it just gets more and more absurd. But the more you read it, the more involved you become and the more you are looking forward to the next issue to find out exactly what's going to happen.
Yeah, and it was like that because I was reading the trade and I started off slow, just sort of, I don't know what this is. I'm going to give it a shot because the guy said, oh, my God, wow, this is crazy. And by the time I got to the end of it, we've dealt with a missing persons case. We've got an underground chicken smuggling organization. We've met one of the only other two people on the planet who has this eating power.
Yes.
Yes.
And we've met crazy Russians at an astrology telescope set up in the Arctic, and they're calling someone the vampire.
Yes.
I don't know what to say. It was freaking awesome. I didn't see any of that coming. Oh, and there's like an alien planet or something.
Yes, there is. Our host
was looking at.
Yes. Yep.
And by that point, I just went, okay, there is. I'm not questioning it. I'm accepting that's part of this world, and we're going places.
And the interesting thing about this whole comic is that everything you've talked about in the trades, so the trade goes from 1 to 5, issue 5, I think it's
probably something like that. Yeah.
That is still, those themes are still being carried into what I'm reading now, which is 42. So,
well, that's what I liked about it, was that they had this crazy scene, like the one with the Russians in the Arctic, and they didn't resolve it.
No.
The story stops, of course, because, you know, the issue finishes, but it's not like they just went, that'll do, and they move away from it. It was very much a setup. I felt like this is going to go places later. Oh, yeah, it's
definitely set up. And you'll be reading something, and then it will stop, like you say, and then all of a sudden, maybe 10 issues, 15 issues later, all of a sudden we revisit it somehow through somebody's life, revisits that scene, and then brings it back up to date.
Mm.
And that's the fun thing about it. You haven't got up to Pogo yet, have you? The genetically engineered rooster?
No. Okay. You were telling me all about Pogo.
Pogo is the best.
And I was sadly disappointed Pogo wasn't in the book, but, you know, all good things.
Yeah.
It'll come.
Well, his journey in Japan is still continuing in issue 40, and I'm loving it, absolutely loving it. So, well, that's good that you've got onto that. I'm sure you'll be getting the others now to get yourself up to date.
I'm pretty sure I will be. It was the kind of book that I don't – like, I've read other trades before where you get the first collection. You go, it's cool, kind of cool. I like the idea. And I never go back to it.
Yeah.
But this one, I really felt I want to know where they go with this, because all the developments to date were just – they worked, but I had no idea they were coming. So
I'll spoil alert.
No.
Everybody dies.
Oh, God damn it.
What are you, chicken? Thank you.
What else have you been reading?
Try the Bill.
Other than that,
the whole internet. I told you, you guys listening.
The internet.
To be honest, I've been away from my comics a little bit at the moment, so
you've been a bit removed.
I have.
Oh,
I feel bad. I feel like I've let them down.
Wow,
like a set of tires. Up.
To be honest, no. Or is that too? No. I've I'm 2 issues from the end of Batman Eternal.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been avoiding spoilers in general.
They all died.
It's amazing how most stories end the same way, isn't it?
Only when they all reads them.
Die. Yeah.
Or doesn't read them as the case probably. Yeah,
that's right. All comics. In TV shows, they all die.
You know, that's actually not far from the truth when you think about things like
that. That's true. Look at their hair. It's always changing, getting darker.
It's a loss in
No.
No?
Sort of, but no.
You'll see.
Stop ruining it.
Times will change.
Stop.
So will hair. I'm Mike.
Wow. Moving
that was deep
on moving on
to deep Mike, rinse.
Take control of this show.
I am. Are you reading it?
I am. Is it my turn?
Talk about reading.
Okay, reading starts with R, ends in D. Last week I didn't get a chance to talk about the Melbourne Comics Quarterly issue number 2, which we got an advanced copy of.
Yep.
Actually, I did get a chance. I just neglected not to do it, which is if we're talking in all honesty about stuff and things. But I did read it. I just forgot about reading it, and this time I'm going to talk about reading it. So
awesome!
It's great. It's a great book. It's for those who don't know what the Melbourne Comics Quarterly is. It's like an anthology of different books that are available from Melbourne creators, Melbourne comic creators. And in the first one, we saw a number of popular comics from Melbourne. And this one is no different. This time we've got Killaroo, That Bulletproof Kid, Cranbourne, Pokey the Rabbit, Falling Star, and Larry's Fault, which is from Bobby Yen, who does Digested. And it's ripper. It really is. I mean, sometimes when you bring these books out, especially a second or a third issue, it's in this style, it's not always as good as the first, because you're always comparing it to the first. But I like this. I see this as it's not really a second issue. I see this as a companion to the first one. If anything, it's almost part two, not issue two. We've got a story, from Darren Close and art by Adam Rose, which is Killaroo Township Mine,
mm-hmm.
which is really cool. I liked it. I liked the I really liked the art in it. I thought the art was pretty rad. You know, nice and sketchy, and you know, very Australiana, which was really nice. You know, never mess with a kangaroo in a biker's jacket, really.
So that's it.
It's definitely something to be wary of. That bulletproof kid, you know, we're just seeing an excerpt, obviously, from the actual comics itself. But mm-hmm. these are really good things. You know, some of them we've got news stories. Some of them we've got, stories from the actual comic itself.
Yep.
So if you haven't read, say, something like The Bulletproof Kid, this is great because it's a good jumping on point.
It's a tasting plate.
Yeah.
It's the tapas of the comic world.
Wow.
Melbourne Comics Quarterly. The Tapas Edition.
It's the Tapas Edition.
The Tapas Edition.
You know what?
You could do that.
Please quote us.
Do not forget your dipping sauce, because it just makes it even better.
Please. And talking about dipping is definitely Cranbourne. You know, you get your toe just slightly dipped into the world of Cranbourne.
And then bitten off and chewed.
Well.
Spat back at your own face.
Yeah, that's right. Absolutely.
It bounces off your eyeball.
Which is from, you know, our mates, FEC Comics.
Yep.
They produce that other thing, No Man's Bland or something or other.
No, anyway, ice is free.
Yep.
True story.
Obviously you get Cranbourne from Ben Mockleburn. And Pokey the Rabbit, which is a Steve Boyd creation.
Yep.
He's, the very irreverent, would you say irreverent would be the right word for Pokey the Rabbit?
Yeah, he's not irreverent at all.
No. Far from it. Another great one, Falling Star,
mm-hmm.
from Chris Rikes. That's, once again, it's another sort of.
Another excerpt
from it. And then you've got Bobby Yen's Larry's Fault. And this is specifically
based on Larry,
who will be on the show next week. So,
for our 100th, as well as Steve from FEC.
Yes, editor-in-chief of FEC.
Editor and chief.
Yes, absolutely.
He loves that.
The great thing about Larry's Fault is it is Larry's fault. And it'll be good to actually talk to him next week and find out exactly what he did. Well, I mean, it does explain in here what he actually did to be his fault.
Hmm.
But is this the first time, or is this multiple times in his life that it has been his fault? I would like to know this. And if it is,
biographical is it?
If it is, will we be getting a part two, Bobby? Please, I would like to hope so. So that's Melbourne Comics Quarterly, which is rad. I would highly recommend it. Obviously, by the time the show goes to air, Supernova will be over in Melbourne. However, if you're anywhere else around Australia. And you see a copy of this on somebody's table.
Grab it.
It's great. It's well worth it. Moving right along, Bill and Ted's Most Triumphant Return, issue 2 came out. And it is still most triumphant. Picking up still where we left off last time, which they have gone into the future so that they can write their next hit song, or at least try and find out what their next hit song is, only to find out that their second hit song that they thought that was really good is actually their only flop that they created.
Right.
So they're on the path looking for a new song to create when they end up in, I'm trying to remember what year it is. Oh, 2645.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where we see, Denomalous.
Mm.
We see a younger version of Denomalous, and he just can't catch a break because when they're doing Bill and Ted history, everybody already knows that in 1993? Anyway.
Yes.
That time, it's actually in the history books that he tried to kill, the adult version of him tried to kill him. So as a teenager, he can't catch a break because his adult version is going to try and, you know, change the course of history. That being said, Bill and Ted, in their most triumphant way, decide that they're going to befriend him, help him pick up a girl that he likes, and at the same time rewrite history so that he doesn't try to kill them in the past.
Ooh.
Sounds like a plan.
Sounds like a plan, but in all Bill and Ted fashion, it doesn't go to plan. So once again, this is a great book. I'm really enjoying it. Leave Your Brain at the Door. Don't expect much. You know, it's written by Brian Lynch and pencils by my fave, Jerry Gaylord. And it's done by lovely Boom. The last book that I've been reading this week is Rebels Number One. This is by Dark Horse Comics, and this is fab. It's written by Brian Wood and Andrea Muti. And this is about the U.S. Revolution, so the North against the South. And this is fantastic. So it's set in 1775, around the time that the that the North had pretty much occupied the South.
Yeah,
and what was actually happening at that particular time. And it's a great book. It's historically it's factual, but at the same time,
much like Wild Wild West, I imagine.
Much like Wild Wild West.
That's my favorite factual film.
It is. Oh, it totally. really is. And but it tells a it tells the story of a couple, which is Seth and Mercy Abbott, and what transpires in one event then leads to them starting a revolution with inside the revolution, so to speak.
Oh, that's going to get confusing.
Well, the way that I describe it is probably sounds confusing, but it's actually good. It's the art is in this is beautiful. It's lovely. There's lots of, you know, because it's down south, there's lots of, you know, wooden areas. And so it's very picturesque. But it's just, this is not a book that I would typically read, but it was one that was recommended by Trev Wood.
Yep.
And so I decided to pick it up and have a read of it, and I'm actually hooked. I really quite dig this book. So, yeah, it's called Rebels. It's number one. It's not to be confused with Star Wars. Yeah, this is more.
Yeah, that was a long time ago.
That's in a galaxy far, far away.
Yeah, exactly.
This one's a long time ago on our planet. So yeah, Rebels number one.
Doesn't have the same ring though, does it?
Nah.
From Dark Horse Comics. And that's what I've been reading this week.
Excellent. Well, I suppose that leaves me. And this week, I did pick up from the launch over the weekend for Australia or Melbourne Comics Quarterly, Digested Issue 3 and 4.
Ah, talking more about Bobby N.
Yeah, so really nice stuff. I mean, I enjoy it. I like the fact that you've got several short stories kind of carrying across the two issues. The one that really got to me was the kind of getting brought in by the boss and trying to explain, you know, you do your work, but, you know, they can't accept that you're doing your work. It's like, oh, but you have lunch at your desk. You shouldn't have your lunch at your desk. And you've got to, and then he goes, but I have my lunch at my desk while I'm working. And then I take my full hour after that. What's wrong with that? And they don't like that. And if you leave at 5, but even though you come in half an hour early, they still look down at you because you're leaving at 5. A lot of workplaces are like this. I get the impression. As well.
Yeah, yeah.
So they don't see that extra. They see you leaving at 5. They don't see you doing all the extra work. So the frustration that was put through in this story, I resonated with quite a bit, and it was quite enjoyable. So I think out of the books, I think that was my fave. Otherwise, there were a couple of short, quick stories in there, which I thought were quite funny as well. So I look forward to seeing what else is brought out. Actually, because I enjoyed the Larry story as well.
Oh, Larry's, in the Larry's fault.
Yeah, the Melbourne Comics. Yeah, also this week I picked up the first run of Convergence Comics from DC. I'm sure you know how Nate feels about this right now.
Convergence, that's what I'm calling it. But, Convergence.
Now I've decided to take it upon myself to pick up all the issues that come out for Convergence because
you've taken it upon yourself.
I've taken it upon myself.
You really have. You are.
He's doing it on behalf.
You
of
are a Martha
who won't read it.
You That's are the right. Watcher Martha.
I walk into the comic store. Actually, I don't walk into it. I ride in on a horse.
And you know what happens? You hear this noise.
That's what came out this week? Well, I'm glad I asked. The Question, which is out this week, The Atom.
Thea Tom. That's what I call it.
The Atom.
Thea Tom.
Thea Tom.
It's about a girl.
Harley Quinn.
It's also about a girl.
Nightwing and Oracle.
Has a girl in it.
It's a girl in it, yeah.
Batman and Robin.
It's a girl's name.
Batgirl.
Batman is not a girl's name.
No, Robin is.
I'm going to keep going. Justice League.
There's a girl in it.
At least one.
Speed Force.
There's a girl in that.
Should be.
Superman.
Probably.
He's got a wife.
Does he?
Yeah.
I don't know. I can't keep up with Superman.
Titans.
In Convergence.
Definitely girls in Titans.
And, of course, Convergence number one, which is what I have read so far this week.
And?
It's a beginning.
Oh!
It is a beginning, and
because it's number one.
At the
one.
Moment, they're setting the scene. So it's like, much like the Zero that I read last week, and it was, or the week before, whenever it was.
Zero.
But it was like, and I said, the blurb at the end was probably the most interesting part because they were kind of giving you a bit of a look as to what was going on.
That was last week reading with Mike.
Yes, it was.
Yes.
And so with this, they're setting the stage. I'm curious to see what's going to happen, who's going to be showcased, who's going to be battling to the death to find whose world will survive. That's the voice you use.
I like that voice. You should use that voice more often.
Survive. Yeah. But, yeah, look, I love the artwork. The artwork was actually really nice in this. And so right now you've kind of got Thomas Wayne as Batman is the featured Batman so far. And we get to see what's happened. So I'm open to see what is going on, and we shall see in the coming weeks. I will try and read through the rest of the comics for this week to review next week, and we'll keep on going to see the journey of Convergence.
Just a note to talk about something more positive, and is that that I have started reading Grayson.
Good.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm about halfway through that.
We can still be friends.
Totally enjoying that. And I can talk about that in probably about 2 weeks' time after our 100th. We can definitely talk more about
talking Grayson,
because I think that will be that's definitely a fun read.
It's a good book. It's not what I expected.
It's yet to see, you know, what's going to happen after this whole Convergence thing. Where will Grayson be? Will he be in tights? Will he not be in tights?
He'll be in tights. He really will be. There'll be many, many in tights.
Yes, the world's tightiest heroes.
When's the DC miniseries coming out called Men and Women in Tights? Because really, that's what it's all about, isn't it?
Yeah,
all of them.
Absolutely.
Well, except for the one or two wearing bulletproof armor, but those guys.
Well, when it was really popular, it was the heights of tights.
Wow. I just, you know, I'm just not convinced with Convergence. I mean, I read Zero, I read One, and I just, you know, this just feels like, hey, we need to fix the New 52. We need to get back up.
It's no longer new.
We need to get back up, you know, in the game. And how are we going to do that? Oh, let's, you know, have this world of battling, and then we can right the wrongs and put our most, you know, popular characters from the last, you know, 50 years into something that, you know, hopefully will put us in equal pegging with Marvel.
Well, it's kind of resetting the playing board again. And what I must admit is funny is you're kind of seeing this, and you got artists like, you know, Tom Grummett on Speed Force, and you see how simplistic Flash is looking now with his old costume. You're kind of like, wow, you actually have adjusted to the newer look of the characters.
Even though the characters now that we see, like in the New 52, I mean, we can still refer to it as the New 52 until the new version comes out. But even those outfits are relatively simplistic. There's not a lot of detail to them, other than, you know, lots of permanent marker lines on them.
The seams.
Yeah. Like you say, when you go back and you look at the sort of the original outfits to begin with, there was nothing.
Yeah.
It was absolutely nothing. It was seamless.
It was tights.
It was
heights of tights.
So are you thinking that the New 52 redesign, air quotes again,
yes,
was really just putting maybe too much of an element in that was missing from the start?
I think they got Liefeld. I think that's what they got. It was just
I don't believe you. They got feet and
they
hands.
They got lots of pouches.
Yes, and they put their foot in their mouth.
They got lots of pouches and, you know, other things that weren't necessary.
Who got pouches?
I don't know.
You made that up. No one got pouches.
But I'm just using that as an analogy. It's
funny you mentioned that, though. I did see a scene from Batman and Robin, the new film today.
Oh, yes.
Batman and Robin? That's what it's called?
Yes.
Yeah. Not to be confused with the other film called Batman and Robin. The animated
this
one. Anyway,
this is the good one.
Yeah, this was a scene of Nightwing and Damian fighting in the Batcave. And it's kind of cool. It's Nightwing on film, so I'm always happy. But they've redesigned its costume.
Yes.
It's taken mostly from Young Justice, the cartoon show,
right,
but added some elements from the comics. So it's kind of, you're looking at me weird, it's kind of got an
armored, I want to see what this plays out to
it's
be.
It's like an armored plated look that he had in Young Justice. And he's got these strange little sort of pouches on his hip, but not his belt. There is no belt.
There's pouches.
Yeah, there's pouches. That's where I got from.
Yeah.
But otherwise, he looks like comic Nightwing. So
okay.
I was happy with that.
So it was kind of mixed feelings?
Yeah, he got referred to as a circus clown, and then he kicked Damien's ass. So I was pretty happy.
It is pretty good. And then they brought out the preview for Justice League Gods and Monsters. Gods and Monsters? Or?
They did. I haven't seen that one. There's no Nightwing in it.
It's all set in the future. It's all future Justice League. It's got nothing to do with...
Nobody cares yet.
...with current timeline. So, no, we don't. And I don't
Maybe care. In 10, 15 years.
I watched it. Because when it said, Justice League, I was like, oh, yeah, I'm so excited for another Justice League. And was hoping that this would be New 52 Justice League. But, no, this is not... Because where they ended up, I'm trailing off because I don't really care. So
this sounds like more what you're watching now.
It does.
What do you think? Oh, there's the intro music. Yeah, it's definitely what you're watching right now.
Right.
Let's continue on.
Who's up, Mike?
Mate. Host.
Oh, excellent.
Do it.
Good stuff.
Do it.
Keep on keeping on.
Okay, this week I watched Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Nick, did you watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. this week? There was nothing on. There's no Flash. There's no Arrow.
I haven't noticed that. Yeah, no, I haven't.
No, they're saving it for next week.
Mid-season hiatus.
But you know what
the interesting, week off.
You know what the interesting thing was? They advertised when both of these shows came back from mid-season
break.
Yeah. They advertised that it would be consistent until the very end. There would be no breaks, right? No breaks.
Which makes sense for Flash because he's fast.
Right.
What?
Follow my pattern.
Wow.
Use the Speed Force.
No. If that's the Speed Force, I don't want it.
I'm actually wondering whether they've done something tactical, like decided, that's the week Age of Ultron comes out. Let's make sure our finales fall on the same week.
Oh.
Well.
I don't know if it does. I'm just suggesting it. It's possible it does.
Anyway.
Well, we get it a bit earlier, don't we, here?
Yeah, we do a few days earlier.
Yeah. So, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was probably the only thing that was comic book related this week. We're definitely getting to a – we're not – the last couple of weeks have been good. I would say the last 2 weeks have been – this week and last week was kind of a bit, this whole, S.H.I.E.L.D., new S.H.I.E.L.D., old S.H.I.E.L.D. business is starting to get old already. This whole Sky thing and the Inhumans is okay, but they need to definitely kick this into gear. Don't really care about Reyna and what's happening with her and her transformation. And
I just hope the spin-off TV show is called Sky Thing and the Inhumans. It just sounds awesome.
Sky Thing and the Inhumans.
Sky Thing and the Inhumans.
Is it a bird? Is it a plane? No, it's a Sky Thing.
Yep.
It can fly and stuff. Yep. Sky Thing.
Hey, look, see, you got a theme song already. Let's run this thing.
Let's run with it. They're listening. I'm sure the CW are listening. Oh, no, it's not the CW, is it?
They're probably listening
ABC,
as well.
It's ABC. So,
now it's creepy, too.
And call Brandon Ruth Thea Tom.
Yep.
Thea Tom.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is okay. We've got, four episodes left, five episodes left. There's not a lot, but...
I've got to catch up.
Yeah, it's just got to – they've got to really start kicking into gear, especially if we're getting towards Age of Ultron.
Hmm.
I'd really hope that we're going to see a big difference in what's going to transpire. But, yeah, this week was just a bit lackluster, I think.
Hmm.
Anyway, I'll tell you what isn't is what Dean talked about last week, which is the Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. Now, he spoke about this, and it's about a woman, Kimmy Schmidt, who was in a doomsday bunker.
That's right.
Who was sort of part of this cult. And she gets out and she starts living her life in New York. And it is great. It is a great series. It's from Netflix. It's 13 episodes. And can I tell you, I love Tina Fey. She is just amazing. She is an amazing writer. If anything, you know, comedian, she's awesome. As an actor, she's awesome. But as a writer, she is just fantastic. I mean, her creation of 30 Rock was astounding. And this is just as good. I really think that this is on the same level as 30 Rock. Different cast. But saying that, you do get some of the cast from 30 Rock who make their way into cameos on these 13 episodes. So if you manage to be able to get a hold of the Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, then it's definitely worth a look because it's super, super fun. The other one that I finally got around to watching, which I haven't before, and I know that Nick will be happy and at the same time surprised because I haven't watched it up until now, is Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
What? Oh, no.
Colour I love shot. That show.
Yep. So I've just finished the first season of Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Sandberg.
So
nodding, I'm happy.
Yeah, that is, and it's, so the last episode for season one is where he goes undercover.
Yep.
So I can only and that's for about 6 months. So I can only quits imagine.
The police force.
Well, he gets fired from the police force.
Goes out in a blaze of glory, though.
He certainly does. And you. but yeah, so I finally got onto Brooklyn Nine-Nine, and this is great. This is a great series from start to finish. You know that. The first pilot episode, it didn't feel like a pilot episode. It just felt
it hit the ground running, really, didn't
it? Yeah, it really did. You know, and to compare comedies, The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, that pilot felt like a pilot. It felt like that they did that. Well, actually, I shouldn't say that. They actually did do that. They did it for ABC. ABC decided not to go with it, and they ended up selling it to Netflix actually ended up buying it. And so I got slightly retooled in the 12 months between ABC and Netflix taking it over.
Right.
So there isn't a lot, but you can just like it's just dialed up a little bit when you get to episode two. I don't think that that's the same with Brooklyn Nine-Nine. It's dialed up on 9 or 10 in the pilot, and it just continues on. I don't think it slows down by any means.
Yeah, and it's funny you say that because we're almost two seasons in now. Like yeah. It's up to episode 19 of season 2.
Yeah.
And they're on hiatus. Yeah. Good work, guys.
Yeah.
and if you ask me the scene that stood out the most, the one that stuck with me most, it's actually from the first episode where Jake Peralta, Andy Samberg's character, is being a jerk detective. it's a shop of some kind. I can't remember. I think it's a chemist.
Yeah.
And he's claiming that he could solve everything that's going on there, and he's using his
detective skills. It's an electronics store. It's electronics store.
And he's making this big bravado show, and it's like it's the kind of thing where you expect him to really fall on his ass and make a dick of himself because that's what these kind of characters do. The big hot air kind of detectives who just march around like they're in the place. And it turns out he's actually solved the whole crime because there was a hidden camera in one of the TVs on the shelf. And he'd figured that out first. And all of a sudden you sort of go, oh, okay, he's not a jackass. He's actually useful.
Yeah. And that carries all the way through.
Yeah.
And that's what's good
about it. One of my favorite episodes is when he's trying to convince the police chief that he could get, what was it? Was it his watch from his office?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And all the different diversions he was setting up and, you know, putting feathers into the, you know, the ventilation system.
It was the pigeons.
And it's one of the great things is I got to admit, I don't actually like Andy Samberg.
Neither do I.
But something about the way Jake
Peralta does a great Nicolas Cage, though.
Oh, he does a great Nicolas Cage. There's something about the fact that he has all this fun and he mucks about, but he's still a really good cop when it counts and it works. And the rest of the cast are sensational.
They all work really well together.
It's a great ensemble.
Well done. It's funny because when you look at a comedy like this, and it is it's very much a situation comedy.
Yeah.
And you've got a group of such eclectic characters too, because these are not characters that would normally spend time together.
No, not at all.
You look at say something like Friends from the 90s. They were just all boring because they were all the same.
Yeah.
They all had their neuroses, Whereas these people that are actually working together, they actually they wouldn't work together if they were friends outside of that workplace. But they actually really work together well. Mm. And even when they socialize, when you see multiple times in the series where they socialize,
yeah,
it doesn't work at all. It doesn't work by any means. Like, when they go to the captain's his birthday party, when they go to when they go out for drinks, it always ends in disaster. Thanksgiving Day, every time they socialize outside of the precinct, it ends in disaster, and that's the way that it really would be in real life.
Mm.
But the way it happens is just absurd. So I love it. I absolutely love it. I'm looking forward to season two.
You should. It gets much better as well. It just continues getting better. One of my favorite members of the cast, though, is Terry Crews.
Yeah.
Famous for being huge and intimidating. Terry, he was in Expendables, doesn't he?
Terry doesn't like this.
Yeah, he was in Old Spice ads. Yes. He's just intimidating. Yeah. And he plays this detective. Like, he's a senior detective. Right? Yeah. He runs the team.
Mm.
And he's like this doting father who's always conscious of his... Yeah, he's completely soft.
Yeah.
Doesn't carry a gun because of his traumatic incident when he shot a clown toy or something.
That is one of my favorite scenes.
And it's just wonderful because every time you expect he's going to use his size or his intimidation factor, he just comes across and he's all like, come on, guys, please. Yeah. Terry doesn't like when you argue.
Yeah. Always talking in the third person.
Always third person. Yeah. Terry loves his yogurt.
Yep. Well, I did see an interview, just very quickly, I did see an interview with Terry Crews, and apparently a lot of the character of Terry, because that's what he goes by anyway in the show, is a lot of that is written around him. So that he does in the show, so like doting father and husband and all that sort of thing, he is a lot like that. And in his past, he has been known to talk in the third person.
Right.
He doesn't do it now, but he said that in his wild days, he would refer to himself in the third person. Because it was a gimmick. So, and apparently that helped to get him the Old Spice ads. So, because he referred to himself in the third person.
Actually, I've got to say, I think one of my favorite scenes for him in any film has to be, is it Click?
I haven't seen Click.
And that's just basically him being the dude singing in his car. And when he gets fast forwarded, oh man, that just cracks me up every single time because he does all the dance moves really, really fast, and it just the way he does it is brilliant. And yeah, he just cracks me up. So yeah, and he's great in this role as well. So I look forward to actually seeing season two because I haven't seen season two yet.
You guys gotta get on it. It's great.
I'll be on it. Really good. Don't worry, I'll be on it, and I'll be talking about it in 2 weeks' time.
Nice,
Nick. You've got 1 minute.
I've got 1 minute. All right. Well, I claimed earlier that I've watched 138 episodes of a TV show, the 4 spin-off movies, and the mid-90s revitalized series.
Of
Get Smart.
Thus, the 99th episode.
Yes.
Correctum
99.
Thanks for carrying the torch because we didn't.
Yeah, no, I'm glad you did.
So you guys believe I watched all that in 1 week?
No, I didn't. No. I think you read the internet.
I wouldn't believe
Would you
it
believe
at all.
I watched the... first and second DVD collections of the TV show and all the movies?
I reckon the pilot and maybe the new movie starring Steve Carell.
Would you believe the highlighted scenes on YouTube?
Really?
No. No. I committed to it. 99. I wanted to carry that theme through because Get Smart's one of those shows I watched as a child. It was like Saturday afternoons or Sundays or something.
Always.
Sunday guaranteed, afternoons.
Guaranteed if the weather went bad, you go inside and Get Smart was on.
Yes.
Also guaranteed it's an episode you've seen.
Yes.
Also guaranteed if you now check Channel 1, it's usually on most days.
There you go. See?
Yep.
And it's fantastic. I went back to revisit it and it has aged. Surprise. Because it was on the 60s.
Mel Brooks, some of his early stuff.
Yeah. But something that struck me about it as well is that it's a parody of the spy shows of the era. It's a parody of James Bond, Mission Impossible, that kind of thing. Maybe not Mission Impossible, that was later. Either way, point is, it's the deadpan spy genre being taken for a ride. But if you watch it carefully, nothing silly happens until Max gets involved.
Yeah.
Everything is actually quite above board, quite efficient, and then he walks in the room and he says something, he presses something, he talks to someone, and it just falls apart.
It's chaos.
It is. It's literally chaos. Everyone is... constantly exasperated whenever he's involved.
Mm.
And the only person who doesn't show that is 99. And she is actually the hero of the show. Max is the one who might do the, you know, carry the gun at the end or karate chop someone or whatever. But 99 is the one that enabled that. Without a doubt, every time, she's the one that makes it happen.
Well, that's how Inspector Gadget was created, was based around...
Inspector Gadget is Get Smart for Kids.
Yeah.
And it's awesome. And it was so cool. So
complete with Don Adams' voice.
It was.
Yes. Well, that made it work.
Yeah.
So I started out watching the movie, the Get Smart reboot, with Steve Carell, which I appreciate a lot. It does have a problem compared to the TV show in that a lot of the characters are silly.
Yeah.
So you get silly scenes happening and Max is not involved. And that just feels a bit like they didn't get the joke. Like they didn't understand. Yeah. And like one of the most underplayed gags is right at the end after he's saved the orchestra from the bomb going off. And he bows to the audience and everyone claps. And he turns around to bow to the orchestra and it reveals that his pants have been completely shredded from earlier. Gags like that, so well played, so classic. That's what the show was like. It was always that kind of, we're not going to point this out. We're not going to drag it on and beat it to death. We're going to do a single reveal, bang, done.
Well, and, a lot of that is intelligent comedy, really, isn't it?
And it's not necessarily saying the audience are smart. It's just saying we know this gag is good for this, and that's it.
You'll get smart.
Yeah.
See, look at that.
Smart jokes.
Yeah, so it's about knowing when your joke lasts. Yeah. But Adam Sandler will flog a shouty child act for an entire career.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, let it go. Move on, try something
else. I felt
that
was the case in Anchorman 2. I enjoyed Anchorman, but Anchorman 2, I think they would linger on the joke way too much.
I think they lingered on the job too much as well.
You
had your moments, but yeah, then they had those moments filler for another minute afterwards. You're like, guys, the joke's over. Let's move on.
Yeah, no, not good.
Yeah. But the nude bomb was always a classic version of Get Smart.
The nude bomb was. That was the first spin-off film.
Extremely 70s, and the flares are in full force in that film. Oh, my God,
weren't they ever? But, yeah, it's one of the best things I think about the fact is that Barbara Feldon, Agent 99, the hero of the show, as I stated, she's still alive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she looks great, and she's fantastic. She's done all kinds of stuff. She writes. She's a writer these days, but she doesn't publish much.
Yeah.
So there you go, Barbara Feldon, Agent 99, classic, the real hero.
What did you think of it's not the reboot, with the new TV series that they did, was it 90s?
The Andy Dick one? The one we're going to talk about?
Yeah.
Not since the accident?
Mm.
Andy Dick is not, I don't like his style.
He played the son, didn't he?
He was the bungling son of Max and 99.
He was the bungling son of the bungling father.
Yeah.
So he was the bungling.
Double bungle. Bungle squared.
You just can't believe that, you know, 99's genes got toppled over by Max's.
Well,
he does natural selections are fast.
He was kind of dropped on his head when he was born, wasn't he, by repeatedly. Max? Yeah.
That actually makes a lot of sense when you think about it.
Yeah. If they'd said that, then it might actually
And you'd believe it as well, wouldn't you?
Yep.
Or Max would put him on the bench and then turn around and press a button, the bench would slingshot him across the room.
Yep.
Yeah.
Sorry absolutely. About that would soon follow and life moves on.
Yeah. So, that's good.
So it's a good excuse to watch an awful lot of Get Smart. And I didn't watch all of it, but I watched a lot of it. And loving it.
How did you feel about the film that was released with Steve Carell?
Oh, yeah, I liked it. I liked it a lot. Like I said, there's bits where it didn't work for me because it wasn't Get Smart when other people were being silly. Like there's a scene with the CIA war room where the chief and... I don't know, CIA head guy or something, they end up having a brawl.
Mm.
And it just felt like a different film. Didn't feel like Get Smart to me. But then there's this, I didn't realize this till rewatching it, but there's a whole bunch of reused gags from the TV show and not just the Missed It By That Much kind of things.
Yeah.
But gags that they played in a different way altogether. And I love Steve Carell's take on it because he played the deadpan Max when he needed to. And then the few times he wanted to show there was more to Max, he did something different. Like he did the cone of silence when he got announced he's a new agent.
Mm.
And he takes the cone, goes in the corner, turns it on, doesn't work properly. He doesn't know this. He starts going, oh my God, I'm so excited. This is the happiest day of my life. He presses it, turns around and he's just deadpan. It's like, never happened, Kirby. And everyone's like, we heard that. And he's like, okay, just moved on. Loved it. But yeah, I really liked his work as Max. I thought he played it as Don Adams would have for the most part. And he did his own thing where it worked. And that was great. And Anne Hathaway was wonderful as well.
They did
something funny with her, suggesting she was a much older woman who had massive plastic surgery to look different. That's right. which I don't think you need to do. They could have just played her as 99 being a young, strong, intelligent woman.
I found I forgot about that as soon as it was mentioned.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. It doesn't play a big part. No. I don't really understand why.
If they'd had that as a running gag all the way through the film, then I probably would have gone, oh, yeah, that's right. But because they was mentioned, it was like,
yeah. Yeah, if they'd had something like having a running gag, but also having her do things an older woman would have done, maybe, or say things that an older woman may say. But they didn't. They just drop it after that scene in the plane. It never comes back.
Yeah.
Mm.
Oh, there's a scene where Max says that she doesn't have to remake the way she looks or whatever, but that's really just an intro so she can say why.
Yeah.
Mm. Anyway.
Yeah.
Good. I enjoyed it a lot. I really wish there was a sequel because I think they could have done a lot with it, and particularly having Jaime turn up at the end. Being played by Patrick Warburton, who's probably got the best voice in the world.
That's the perfect choice.
Yep.
As soon as he turned up, before he said a word, Terry Crews, there he was, him again. He stands in front of him and does the whole sort of, you know, new guy, we're going to mess with the new guy kind of thing. And Patrick Warburton just looks at him like, nope. And I'm like, oh, it's Jaime, it's got him. He was great. So, yeah, that's what I've been doing.
Jaime is probably one of my favorite characters.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Of the whole Get Smart series. He really is. Especially that one where he does the running race with the was it the Olympics? Or?
Yes, yeah.
Love that, love that. Yeah,
and it's one of those characters that he's just so absurd, but no one paid attention to.
And
the
he falls in love with that other, with the Chaos Robot. Was it the Chaos Robot that he falls in love with?
Yes, yes, it was. That's the other thing. So much of the stuff in the show was chaos that turned to control as well. I like that idea. I mean, it's ridiculous. The Americans just aren't that good, but it was good.
Yeah. Definitely.
So, yes, go out. Watch Get Smart. It's worthwhile.
Well, I watched another show starting with G, and that was Goldbergs. I finally caught up on season one of the Goldbergs. Yes. And you know what?
What?
It just got stronger and stronger and stronger. And you know what? Mrs. Goldberg especially, man, she is all kinds of crazy.
Who is your favorite? Is Barry still your favorite?
I think Barry has gotten even funnier as the series goes on. I think probably the weakest character out of the whole show would be the sister.
Yeah.
But everyone else kind of got their niche. And that could be because in real life, it's not a sister. It's actually another brother in the
Goldberg family. Have you watched this, Nick?
It's ringing bells, though. Have like, we talked about it before?
Do you want to talk about
basically, the story, the idea of the Goldbergs is it's the producer of the show, Adam F. Goldberg. It's his family, and it's in the 80s.
And that's narrated by someone.
Yes, it's narrated by, I can't think of his name.
Patton
Oswalt. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
I've seen bits of it. I have not seen it. I've seen it like...
It's like the first couple, I think the pilot's probably the weakest.
Yeah.
It sets the tone, but then as you go on, as you kind of get to know the characters more and everything, it just really finds its groove. And I love the fact that every episode, it's 1980-something. So, which let them the freedom to kind of jump around the 80s and utilize things. And you can see Adam's love of Transformers, his love of Indiana Jones, and all these classic movies and films. And he's always, you know, filming everything. But what's really great is seeing a little bit at the end where he's actually got some real life footage and you can see
where that scene's actually come from. So the scene that you see in the actual comedy itself, you see the real part at the end of the. So it's always something to look forward to. So I just watched the latest episode before I came tonight, and it's about how CDs have been released, and so the lengths that they go to get a new CD player in the house because it's $900 for a CD player,
right?
And there's a part where they see it, and then at the very very end you see the excerpt from it, and it's him pretending to be the Swedish chef, and it's terrible. It's absolutely awful, but it's perfect. You know, it sits with what you would expect a 13-year-old to actually – is he 13? Yeah, 13.
Yeah,
what you would expect
that,
a 13-year-old to be like if he was filming on camera.
That's awesome.
It's a lot of fun. If you love the 80s, it's got a great soundtrack throughout the entire series.
So you've only done season one, haven't you?
Yes, I'm yet to get into season two.
You need to get into season two because that's Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Yes, I've heard about that, so I'm looking forward to get onto it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's one of the best. So
there's a great Goonies episode in season one as well, which is fantastic. Yeah. Right. So definitely get on it. It's great fun and it's 80s, so I'm there 147%. So it is just that good.
And one more episode and Better Call Saul is all done for the season. So
what's that? Is that 10?
Yeah, that'll be.
I'm only up to 7, so if you say a word,
I've seen nothing.
Beat you
I'm
both,
waiting.
They all die.
Gonna beat you both.
I'm waiting until the entire season die. Finishes before I'm even going to start on it.
Yeah. That's a good idea.
Yeah,
because we
plus I've got stuff to do.
It's killing. It kills you every week. You have to wait.
So frustrating. Like we managed because we got really busy. We didn't see 3 episodes.
Hmm.
What? 5,
and
6,
then
7.
Did you watch them like 3 in a row? Bam.
We did. We binged them on Easter Sunday, Monday. Like. One of the days off this weekend.
Mm.
Yep. It was a lazy day. I think it was Monday, actually. We had other plans, but they weren't important plans. And we ended up watching this for like 3
hours.
Yeah,
that's right. You were having lunch with us. Is that where he was? Yep.
You guys never invite me to lunch.
Better watch Saul.
Better watch Saul. Yeah. So we started off going, look, we'll watch one because then we've got stuff we both need to do and whatever. We finished that one. They've gone, there is another one already out. Cool. Yeah, okay, we'll watch that one. Finish that one. It's like, all right, that's 2 down. There's one left. We should just watch that one just to get back to a clean slate. Mm,
yep.
And they're awesome. It's the same thing we did with Breaking Bad because when that came out, we just plowed through 5 seasons in a matter of days.
Mm.
You know, around work and
you
stuff
did that
as well.
Hard,
so
didn't
we
you?
Just stopped.
Yeah, I did like 4 seasons in within a couple of weeks and then took a break and we watched that.
You kind of have
season.
To after the 4th season.
Yeah, I think you do.
Yeah, it's intense.
It's insanely intense.
It's intense.
And there's something I really love that every episode we're building towards something. There is something coming.
Yeah.
But every episode, Jimmy gets another punch in the ribs.
Takes
it out of him. And even like the big thing that happened in 7, can we talk about what happened?
Yeah, talk about it. Right, so I'm good at forgetting this stuff.
He's got a giant class action lawsuit he's been assembling, and it looks like it's actually going to work. It's got legs. And then he gets told he can't work on it. And when you get told why, you're just like, oh, that is so low. That is so mean.
I tweeted that he just can't catch a break. No matter what he does,
he
just cannot catch a break. And even in this last episode that I just watched, which is 9, he can't catch a break. You know why he became the character that he becomes.
Yeah, yeah.
Why he becomes Saul for the reason of what's actually transpiring.
And it's good in that respect because it's a prequel where whilst we know where he ends up, we're not getting that kind of foregone conclusion feeling just yet.
Mm.
I mean, it has to happen. I'm no idiot. But like with Star Wars Episode 3, you knew by the end of the film he was going to be Darth Vader.
Yeah.
Like there was no doubt about
that. There's no escaping that, really.
The whole time you're watching, you're like, any second now, this thing's going to kick in.
Yeah.
So I'm keen to watch the rest. Very keen.
Same here.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, I think we've come to the end of the show, and I think it's time to let everyone know where they can find us.
You can find me at Nath Stones on Twitter.
I am at The Excitable Boy on Twitter.
And I'm at Mickey Toons at all things Twitter and everything else, apart from Instagram, where it's the real Mickey Toons because someone else beat me to it.
And you're not sore at all.
You know what? I don't care because, you know what? Real Ghostbusters, great cartoon. Real Mickey Toons will soon be a great cartoon. Just give it time. And with that, we've got to finish with a bit at the end. That's what I'm doing really poorly.
We can edit out the bad words.
If it's, watch your...
Cone of silencing.
Nice.
Watch your controlling.
Or watch your hymieing. No. That's terrible. Let's end it on that, shall we? We'll see you next week for number 1.
I missed it by that much.
I always miss it by that much.
Thanks, everybody. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.